without him, it can be nothing. So, I want to read a letter. Here to the church. In the first chapter, the second epistle of Peter. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained thy precious faith with us, to the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Very simply, then, you would understand what these writers do to those that have obtained faith as the apostle said. He tells us how, through the righteousness of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, we obtain this faith through him, not through hearing the gospel of faith. Now somebody might think, strange that in as much as you read in the scriptures where the apostle says that faith comes by hearing. But it doesn't. It comes in the way in which the apostle here is talking about. Faith is the gift of God and comes through the righteousness of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way we obtain this faith. Now, he's right for those that have this faith. And if I should be blessed to preach to you and show you what faith is, what it's for, you'd know what I'm talking to you about. Just like if a man get up and begin to describe some fellow that has some certain thing in his pocket, and he'd say, he's talking about me. You see? So when a man is describing faith, if you have that faith, well, you know he's talking to you. And he said, it's right. I'm a Peter, servant of apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained my precious faith of us. Now their faith was that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he is to save sinners. That was his mission in the world, was to save sinners. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The knowledge we obtain and live in a Christian life while we live in this world, the more peace and joy we have in the kingdom of God. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be the peasants of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You know, there's a lot of promises that we have made to us that we rely on heavily. Some promises we don't count as much. Isn't it that way? Back here in this life. And so we rely on this great promise of God. He's given us eternal life by promise, brother, as his holy word was in his Son. And we are just a prosecutor that our faith is that we rely upon that. We're not doing anything, trying to teach anybody anything in order that we get this right. We are looking to God to give it to us. And that's the only way it comes. Eternal life is the gift of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we have these promises. And besides this, giving all diligence, now here's something for the child of God to do. Besides all this, these things that was prepared from the God of heaven and given to you in Christ, something that's true. Now besides all this, besides all this, now something for you to do. Besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now you can't have faith. You can't have faith. You can't do anything to get faith. But you can do something with faith. Add to your faith what virtue? And what is that? That's a Christian life. Add to your faith virtue. A child of God that got a virtuous life. A clean life. In this part of God and in this part of the human family. He's added that from. That's something he had. Now if he doesn't have this, he's not going to have it. This is something that he himself has to do upon death and how the things that God has promised him by giving him faith. Add to your faith. Add to your faith. Your faith is dead without works. Faith as the body and without the spirit is dead, and so is faith without works. Yes, faith without works is dead. You know, just like if you had a garden and you had faith to believe that you could produce, that it would produce everything that you needed as far as vegetables is concerned, something to sustain this life, and you didn't never use that faith in producing anything in that garden, you wouldn't expect anything. You needn't to. Faith within itself is inactive, it's dead, it's useless. And so it is with the child of God, this faith that God has given him and the work in his kingdom while he lives here in this world. It's dead unless he uses that faith and in doing the things that God has told him to do. And you know the first thing is the way I see it. After a person comes to a belief of the truth, after God changes his heart, gives him eternal life, and gives him faith, and he comes to a belief of the truth, he believes in salvation by grace. He believes this is the church that God has set up here in the world. He believes that this is the home for God's people. The first thing that he should do, you know the scriptures tell him, first seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to it. Everything you need, it'll be added to it. First seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you know that contrary to our carnal nature. Yes, it's contrary to the carnal nature of a child of God is to do the things that God has taught him to do. First seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you know so many of God's children put this off. Almost once in a while, and a good lot of them put it off too late. Never do enter the church, Bob. Never do enter the church. I've talked with a many one in my life. And I'd have waited too late. Not too late to get to heaven, but too late to get to the church. Yes, you can wait too late if you're young. It don't matter how young a person is, if God has given him an experience of grace and he's come to a belief of the truth. Now, the way that we come to a belief of the truth, now Paul the Apostle said, you are begotten by the Spirit. That is, the wisdom of God's Spirit in your heart has caused you to be born again. Born to the Spirit. There has to be a beginning. There's always a beginning before there's a birth. And after you're born again, you know Nicodemus, when Jesus was talking with Nicodemus on the subject of the new birth, Nicodemus heard the great miracles of Christ, and he came over by night to see him and to converse with him. And when he comes to him, he said, we know it's our come from God. We know how the man come from God. Because no man can do the miracles that I do it except God be with him. Only Nicodemus believes it's God. But it did believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But he knows he come from God. He knows that God was with him. And so the Jews, as a Jew, Nicodemus was a Jew, a ruler of the Jews. He's a wise wise man. Jesus wasn't talking with a fool, but he's talking with a man that knew something. And he said, and he knows how commands come from God. So no man can do the message of God with except God be with him. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My kingdom is not of this world. This church, my brother, is not of this world. It's in the world, but it's not of the world. No, Jesus said, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again when he's old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb be born? Jesus said, that that's born of the flesh is flesh. Just as good as to say, if that is possible, you'd just be the same man right on. But you must be born again. The wind blows like this. And you know what that represents, sir? The wind is an invisible power. No one has ever been able to see the wind. Therefore, it represents the Spirit of God. The wind blows where it is. You know, it blows just as strong as it pleases, just as cold as it pleases, and from any direction as it pleases. That's the wind, the wind. Now, the Spirit of God, the Spirit works where it pleases. And you feel the effect of it. You can't tell from whence it comes and where it goes. So if there one is born again, they want just a lot. If the independent works of God's Spirit, that's the beginning in the hearts and the souls of God's children, and that which is born is of the Spirit. It's born of God. Then you become a child of God by birth. You're already a child of God by promise. You're already a child of God by promise. Being a child of God by promise, now you're a child of God by birth. And finally, you'll be a child of God by redemption. Then you'll finally be a child of God that by the resurrection. It's a bit faith. It's going on, friend. God never will use nasty in case. This is an effectual work. It's fixed. And it's precision. It's a precise work in every way. God's work is. Now, our work is not. You know, our preachers, they make mistakes, but God doesn't make any mistakes. He's perfect in all his work. And so, the apostle said, now, I'm speaking here, can't be okay. Who is he talking to? Those that have faith. Talking to those that have faith. You can't believe anything to save your life without faith. One time I was talking to the fellow and he said he could believe anything he wanted to. I said, how about believing what I do? And he said, I can't do that. Then he started looking by grace. No, he said, I don't believe I can do that. Well, he said he could, but he couldn't, you see. And so you can't today, friend. You know you must have evidence to believe anything. You can't believe anything without evidence to save your life. It's an impossibility. Well, why is he good? Wouldn't you believe you was a rich man's son? I would. Now if you could just be. And it was make it so. Now you can't do that. Why it's impossible. Things that real must be real, my brother, before you breathe it in order for it to be real after you breathe. We know this is the truth. Bless your soul who cut out everything in this world. This is a fact. You know a lot of people don't think we can preach on certain things. Because we're primitive Baptists, we believe that God's children was chosen in Christ before the world was, and predestinated to be born again, and to be, resurrected in his likeness. And because of that, they don't think we can take a text over here like this, you know, where in the last chapter of Revelation, where it says, the Spirit say come, and the bride say come, and let whosoever will. Things just entirely up to you. And you know it's only it takes things to say. The Spirit said, come. The Spirit of God in the hearts of his children is born again. Tell them to come. But it's an inviting unto the child of God. If there could be one here today that's longing to join the old Baptist church, there's something within here telling them to do it. There's something in here. Not just the preachers. Now, you think nobody ever had any dealings with you, come, you'd be the same old thing right on. You ain't going to let it. You just can't let it. It's the work of God lives in your heart that enables you to let it. The God is the one who gives you life. And because you got life, you get hungry. And you get hungry to hear the preaching of the gospel that feeds the hungry souls of God's church. And so, when he gives you life, he gives you faith. And he gives you hope. You know, these things, as taught here in the Bible, faith, hope, and charity, which is love. Charity is the greatest of all. Faith, hope, and charity. And we need it all. It takes it all to enable us to live Christ's life while we live here in this world. Live a life where nobody can't cook till this point is finger of corn at you, brother. Then when he points his finger of corn at you, be ashamed of it, sir. Yeah. Well, that's the way to live. That's the way to live. That's the way our Savior lived. And that's the way he taught us to live. It's a big job to do it. It takes something to live a Christian life. It costs you something, brother. And if you ain't willing to spend it, you just buy a little and not stop. Yeah, it costs you something. You have to get up early and work late. You ain't got just a few hours a day. There ain't no union labor here, but unless you're so there contending now, you know, won't get a 3-hour day or a 30-hour week or something like that. And have the rest of the time to follow it. But you don't have no time there to follow it. It's an everyday life. It's an every-hour life. That's for you to live a Christ-like life. And the more you labor in the kingdom of God, the more you labor, the more rest you have. Now, in natural realm, the more we labor, the harder we get. The more we labor, the more rest we have. You know the reason ain't so many of them getting much rest? They don't labor not much. They think, you know, the more rest they have, the better it'll be. But it's the work. In the service of God, it's always right opposite. And so, if you own the child every day, you've got rest. Yeah. Among the mean sheep is fed, everyone that's weary, heavy laden, you shall find rest. This is a promise. This is a rest that God's going to enjoy while we live here in this world because of what to do, because of the labor. And if there should be one here then that has the Spirit of God is heaven in his heart. You know back down when I was a boy, go out to the old Baptist church. They called them hardheads. And the people who called me one, they said he's a hardhead. I didn't much like it. But I did believe in it. I left to go around. Sometimes I said I won't go back no more. He talks about me all the time. But you know, I get so hungry, but before meeting time come again, I'd even go way off some other church. Would come back around and time to go to the little church where my father was a member. I wanted to go, I got hungry to go to work. And I'd go and I felt like you know that spirit in the heart of God's children. They come, the spirit, and the bride, they come. It looked like the church was just had its arms open to receive me as a little child of God. There was a home there. There's a beauty there that I couldn't find nowhere else in the world. They didn't have such great buildings. I can go to places where they had great buildings, you know, and everything was fixed fine. But it was just a cold, empty home house. And over here, it's a little old, cold, empty house. It looks like it would be. That's a warm place. That's a warm place. And it's holy in the service of God. That's for his little children. While they live here in this world. And I go and go. And I you know, there's a heap of pride in this old place of ours. Yeah, we want to be good stuff. We want to go along with the crowd, you know. And I don't mind if there's a minister along, brother, it is right. But you know, the Bible says, straight, the gate, now's ready. You ain't going to find many yet. You take a church where you find so many of them, a lot of them is blown away. I know what I'm talking about. A lot of them is blown away. Yeah. And so again, even among the old Baptists I'm talking about, where there's so many of them, there's a good bit, there's just a few of them that's trying to live a Christian life. You know, this old church, where there's just a few down there, go down there and I'm told, he said, I go back home satisfied. So today, and the spirit they come, and the voice they come, let whosoever will come. Let whosoever will. It didn't say let whosoever will. Didn't have will, it. But they broadcasting way on. I say some of my friends, when we were talking on that subject, an old man sent after me the other night, come to his home, told his daughter, his son, to tell me, morning, come over there, I want to talk on that subject. And he said, Bob Brown, he said, I just want to believe that you could just breathe if you would, that you could just come if you would, and you just have the will if you would. Well, I said, brother, he's right opposite from that. And the person that's got a will, the will comes from life. And the life comes from God. And it don't come from the preacher. You don't get in the life by joining the church. You get the joys of life. Big difference in the joys of something and the something that's said, isn't it? A great big difference in life and the joys of life. And so, let whosoever will come. Well, I said that we can't. We go just as far as the scripture goes. When we get an opportunity for numbers, I say we just go as far. We go to the boundary lines of the land of Canaan. We have a partner to do that. We go that far. If you have a will, come on. Didn't say though, if you didn't have a will, I said you and your crowd, sometimes you say, who's there will then come? If you have not no will, come on in here. I said, that way you get over the line. It won't work. It just won't work. You get a fellow in and haven't got a will to come, he ain't satisfied. He's not satisfied. Or if the one that's got the will to come, he's not satisfied out. He'd be satisfied if he'd come in. And the fellow that hasn't got a will to come, if he'd come in, he'd be satisfied. And he'd be better satisfied than not coming. Don't see the difference. It's always been that way. And it's that way now, and it'll always be that way. So what takes ain't no trouble to preach it. You preach itself, does it? It's done. It explains itself. We just rehearse. And so then, add to your faith virtue. You know, I've been in sections and get to ask them about certain men and ask them, who is this fellow that'll go with him? He'd tell you, I said, what kind of fellow is he? Well, he said, he won't do the trust. You know why? You know why? That man said, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. He just won't do the trust. Well, you go along with the fellow and you ask him, well, what about this fellow? He said, now you have one that you can't know. You know why he said that? Why is the point the way it is? We live. Why the enemies of a bride to have faith in? Yes. Why, I'm not bragging about myself. I suppose there ain't nothing about me to brag on. But I live so, the Lord tests me to live so. Take people as enemies of the faith that I have. The enemies of the faith I have. That I can get anything they got if I want it. The Lord tests me to do right for you. I can go among those that are enemies of the faith, Father, and they respect me. That is, not in letting me have anything that I'm asking for. And many times, there's in the bank the other day, the old man said, well, I won't loan you some money. You know why? He thought he'd get the interest on. Well, I'm glad that the Lord blessed me. I want to give him a little bit of it, please. Don't want to take a bit of honor for himself. But I'm just glad I got that name so far. That if I do need something, that I can call on somebody, got it, and he ain't unreasonable about it, I'll pay him back. And join the child of God. Add to your faith virtue. And the virtue of honor. Now these are things that God doesn't add to you. If you ever have any, it's something you have. You know, we had to go to school.
The children go to school. You know, they say, well, your Lord have Sunday school. I say, we have no Sunday. I said, I want a good qualified teacher to teach you pastor.
Yeah, we be in Sunday school. But you never say your Baptists don't believe in Sunday school. We don't believe in the modernization Sunday school.
I used to go to Sunday school when I was a boy, and the teacher didn't know more about lesson than I did myself.
Not a bit in the world.
It didn't matter with the class what kind of teacher had. They would have it going in and I was. And that's the way the rest of them was where I went.
We had the fun out of it.
I wouldn't say it wasn't some honest thing, you know. No, don't you misunderstand me. I wouldn't say they didn't think they were doing right. Don't you misunderstand me.
But I'm talking about the real good hours.
So, children of God, you take each children and say, hey, I want to teach them something that when they get older and the temptations of false religion is handed out to them, they'll be wise enough, even from the better of God's word, to not be caught with the barb. You know, these fishes fish with barbs. They don't have anything on the hook but a barb. And the fish mistakes the barb for bait, and he gets caught. And that's where he was God's children, it's called where he was building. And they get caught with a barb. I've seen a lot of people fish with barbs, you know, and it looks just like bait. Looks just like. And the fella, the fish comes up and he swallows, you know, and the man drops and he gets caught with the hook. And that's the way they get caught in these places. They fish with barbs. The reason they catch them any more than we do, and all they're fishing much more. they have the same, of course. They seine and fish and catch with barbs, catch them every way in the world. And there ain't but one right way to fish. I teach these children. You know, I asked the child one day, he'd been told false doctrine. And he believed it. So I was watching. Sure, God's children, they're born again. They believe false teachers. They don't fit their experience and their feelings, but in their mind, brother, they believe. They have taught that, and that's what they believe. And I said, son, who's your father? He said, oh. He's talking about what he's done to his child, God. I said, who's your father? He said, he told me who his father was. I said, what do you do to be a son? Oh, I said, then did that. Well, I said, you were the child by birth, yes. Well, if you're a child of God, you were before you were born of God. And you didn't have to do anything with it. Before you could do anything spiritually, you had to be born of the Spirit. We act in the natural realm because we come into this natural realm by birth. That's the only way anybody ever got here, brother. You realize that. Yeah. And that's the only way anybody ever got the spiritual realm was by birth. Yeah. By being born of God. Yeah. And if you ever got in the spiritual realm, it's because you were born of God, and you were promised to be born of God before you were born of God. You know, there's a good Methodist friend of mine, comes to my house, he's a preacher. And he wanted to discuss something. Now he went to hear him preach. But he checked that while he was. So we went home with him for dinner, and we used to discuss it. He said, Brother Brown, I didn't read some of the things you preached. So I said, he keeps it being the truth, brother. One of the things was, I said this in my preaching. I said, eternal life is the gift of God. We don't do anything to get to eternal life. I said, God gives us that. We don't do anything in order to receive it. It's just the gift of God. I said, now, if the lightning strikes, I said, the fellow receives the jar. He received the shock. He received it. He didn't accept it, but he received it, didn't he? And so you don't accept life. You receive. There's a difference in accepting something and receiving something. Now, if I had a dollar in my hand, and I said, now, here, friend, there's a dollar. Well, the fellow says, now it's just up to the man. He can accept that law, or he can reject it. Yeah. You can accept life and be a child of God, be an heir of God, have a relationship with God, or you can reject it. I think so. The receiver has gotten to be into to the giver. And the man is the child of God that's dead in sin. That's dead in sin. Before he's born again. He can't accept life. He hasn't got the capacity. He hasn't got the ability. He can't accept it. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, neither can he go there. They're spiritually receptive to them. And now I said to this gentleman, I said, friend, suppose I go out here. He said there'd be an election. There'd be an election. Well, I said, now, you believe finally convincing, I felt like it is, that eternal life was something that we'll receive, not something accepted, something God gives. You know, the gospel converts you. It convinces you. If they've got a belief, that if they've got life, spiritual life, you can convince them if the gospel is the truth. You actually can do that. And so, now I said, that he still believed that you had to do something for him to give you that life. Now I said, if I have to go out there in the woods and pull up a cabbage tree out of the woods and bring it over here and send out my orchard, what kind of fruit do you think it would bear? Move from one place to another. He said, that's the same kind of fruit. Well, I said, that's the way it is. So when we get a person in the church that hasn't been changed, he's got the same kind of fruit that he bore out of. It might be Pharisees or religion, but it would be the same fruit. It'd have the same taste. It wouldn't change the taste. But I said, now, you cut out that tree. You cut that tree down, and you graft in it a sweet apple tree in it, a remodeled sweet apple tree. And you keep the spots off of that, and cultivate it, and fertilize it. All the fruit that's growing off that graft will be according to the nature of the graft. Yeah. I said, God gives us eternal life. We see that the engrafted word of God, the engrafted word of God, which is eternal life. Now I said, if we'll handle this old flesh, keep all the spots off of it, and fertilize it with the richness of God's grace, and cultivate it in obedience to His command here. I said, we'll bear a lot of fruit, and it'll all be according to the nature of the grass. You didn't see that. But he said, that's all right. But still didn't be an election. Well, I said, now you believe that before a fellow would go out to get a tree, you say he's got to be changed. I said, before God would change a fellow, don't you believe he would select him before he did? He wouldn't do it accidentally. No. Before God would change the heart of a fellow, give him eternal life, he'd make choice of him to give it to him. And before he gets to him, he promised to do it. And I said, that is it. That's election and predestination. And he gets from God. It's according to God's work. Now he gets ready for the preacher to get to. The preacher, he's ready now for a long preacher to get to him. And preach the gospel to him, and he's got a receiver. You take that bug and let it be dead, and you connect that bug to the power line, and you won't get no response from the line. You won't be no like that. And when you preach the gospel, and the child of God's been born again, he's got a life living bug, brother, and he'll refresh it. I can tell from this guy that I'm preaching over you when God blessed me with the Spirit, that I can see the effects of the gospel in the manifestation of the people I'm preaching to. You can't sometimes, because you don't have enough power in preaching. You know, God has to give you a whole lot of power to reach of the living blood of the hearts of God's children. But God will give it to you if you live right. A preacher's got to live right, brother, to be able to preach the gospel in the power and in the demonstration of God's Spirit. He's first got to be a partaker of it himself, before he can give it to anyone else. And so then, add the obey virtue and the virtue of knowledge. Knowledge means enabling a person how to know, how enables them how to know. It enables him to know how to serve God.
Yeah.
How to serve God effectively. Serve him according to the testimony given him.
Yeah.
You know, when we come together to serve God in our communion. Now, if the church was going to commune the other day, we have bread, it's unleavened bread, and somebody say, well, why do you want to have unleavened bread? We want to serve God in a way that God would accept it. And we want to serve Him in a way that would accept it. The bread must represent the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was the perfect body. We want the unleavened bread. So it'll be a figure. So it'll be a representative, a true representative of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take of this bread in communion, in commemoration and in memory of the body, of the broken body of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. This body was made of the cross. We want to do something in our service that pleases Him. When we take of the wine, we take of the fermented juice of the vine that's been fermented and got out the true element within. We want the pure wine, the fruit of the vine, to represent the blood of the Son of God. His power and His blood. We want that to then take the word as pardon. We want it to represent the blood of the Son of God. Just if any way or do, no way we just do. Some people say, well, it don't make no difference. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. When we get through with the communion service, we want to wash our brothers and our sisters' feet. Oh, you know, that is one thing that was in my way. Oh, that is one thing in my way. Them old people wash feet. Yes. And my friends and my pals, and they make one on the other time. But the time comes when it falls by over closed doors to see them get out of each other's feet and wash one another's feet. And that was a great joy. It wasn't nothing for me. It wasn't nothing for me for that fact. But it made me feel sad within my heart. But then I believe it ain't for just to have a dozen numbers here at this church. If you live Christ-like, if you do what God said, you'll get the joy that God promised you. I love to be with just a few of God's little children that's in love with Him and trying to live like He would tell me that to be in a great house and always something going on to destroy the unity and the peace of the band of God's children. And so here we have had these things in our lives. Don't you think, friend, that you can sit down and get the blessings out of God's kingdom while you live here in this world? You just can't do it. You've got to be up and doing what our Savior has told us to do. Come out from among the world and be separate from the world. Have taste not and have not the unclean thing. Don't partake with evildoers. Why, no. People won't have any confidence in me. Did you know an old Baptist can just do a little something and just talk everywhere in the country? And a man in another place. We can just do it just please, you know, his next thing. And I have a great evidence that there's a light somewhere. And the church is the light of the world, and it's a soul here. It's a pillar to ground of the truth. Our other people just feel. You know, sometimes there's a boy that's preaching and making for another denomination, and he was raised up with old pastors, and he told me the other day, he says, I just don't believe you're the church. He says, there's just too few of you. I don't see how you could be the church. And he says, instead of said, I'll tell you this much. I didn't have time to talk to him like I wanted to, but I thought of this thing. I am an old Jezebel, and Elijah's prophet, you know, the prophet of God, Elijah, and met 900 old Jezebel's prophets, and listen, friends, 900, and God didn't have but one man. Jezebel had 900. Wasn't that a big difference? And don't you reckon that boy was talking to me? That he just saw 900 going down the road. He went over and went to them, and one of them was false prophets. And here was God, just one little prophet. And when they come together, they dug an altar. They erected an altar here, and dug the trenches and poured into water, and got out and called on God. Up until 8 evening, and old Elijah said to him, call a little louder, and your God may be asleep, but far may be gone visiting. And the time ever did come down, that was the arrangement, you know, if his God had come down and licked up the water, by fire would be the God that was going to recognize. And Elijah erected his order, and when they got to, and poured in his poured in his water and got out and called on God, and God come down in fire and licked up the water, and you know they killed 450, I think it was, of them prophets, everyone they taught, everyone they got to. And I want to tell you, child of God, don't be deceived by such a few. Flying over wherever God is, wherever God's people are gathered together in His name, under the influence of His Holy Spirit, there's the church. There's the church. Don't get afraid. I had an old lady. I joined the church 40 something years ago, and I had an old lady. I think she was around 80 then. And she said, well, yes, she said, I'm glad to see you come in. The old church. She said, when I was a girl, they said there wouldn't be none of them all. Then they say that ever since Jesus died on the cross. Then they say that, brother, just as many as there be. Oh, we just have some to live in disobedience. We just have some that to deliver this obedience out. But God's got a new bunch of brothers that come in. He didn't give them out. Bless your soul, they might die here, but there'll be some. They'll be right on. I'm not uneasy, that don't worry me at all, but about getting a fellow ready to join the church from a spiritual standpoint. I want to do my duty as a preacher in instructing them. So they'll know what their duty is according to the way they feel about it, their faith in the heart. That's basically so you can't make the preparation in the heart. The preparation in the heart together with answers of the tongues of the Lord. Yeah. You know back down there, about 40-something years ago, 50-something years ago, we had a few preachers trying to get the old church up out of the rut. Out of the old rut. Well, now, I think sometimes it's necessary to get out of the rut if your daddy got in the wrong rut, don't you? But I'm talking about the apostolic rut. That's the rut we need to run. This railroad track here was laid, brother, by Jesus and the apostles and the old train they run on. You know who's run on? It's God still in the long time run on. That's it.
5-2.
Brother, time is charity. He said, if these things be in you and abound, they'll make you that you won't be fine or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that likes these things that ought to be added. Now he that likes these things is blind and can't see afar off, and he's forgotten was purged from his old sins. Now he said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You've been elected. Now make it work, though. Make it possible. You know, if you had a man elected here in this county, have you ever known right after election a man that was elected to want the election contested? You ever heard tell of it? I never heard of a case in my life. It's the
phone was walking
in. It won't be hard.
You have some significance in your soul that God loves you, they chose you in His precious Son before the world was. And when these things begin to develop up, it just manifests as the work of God before them. Now, if you want these great blessings, do right to your conscience, make it calling and election sure. Never know the man to elect his sin. If that was possible, don't you reckon we'd have a mess with our president? There's a lot of them wanting to be president. I might try it myself.
I knew you were going to talk about what they do if they were president.
So if you can elect yourself, brother, you might have a lot of presidents. But thank God, God got this thing fixed. Chosen in Christ, some of them said. One old preacher preached an election like this. He said, God voted for you, the devil voted for you. Now, whichever way you vote, that's the way the election goes. Majority cast. If you vote with God, right, he gets you. If you vote with the devil, he gets you. I said, if there's that way, suppose I didn't get a vote at all. Now, that's just reasoning it out. They'll probably say some other reason. Now, if it was that way, I could, but not even vote. It ain't got a way to understand, but it was law, like that fellow preached it. I could just refuse to vote at all, cut it. But brothers, your choice is made of you in Christ before the world was. And in time it may manifest. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. You ever seen a branch that didn't come out of the vine? So when a fellow when he believes in God, believes Jesus would be the Savior of sinners, he's come out of it. He's bearing fruit. That's the fruit that the branch bears. The vine didn't bear the fruit, it was the branch that come out of the vine. No matter how old the vine is, if there's a branch, if you see a branch out, you know it was in that vine. Had to be in the vine. And so we were in Christ before the world began. Now you can't understand that, and I can't either. And you don't believe it because you can't understand, but I do. You believe you listen to the president's talk, and you believe you're looking at it. You can't tell how it is, but you believe that. But you don't believe this, don't you see? Or just simply just. You look at him over the TV, he's in a foreign land, and you're looking at him and hearing him talk. And he's thousands and thousands of miles away. The sheriff's millions of miles away. Chosen Christ, you think. God told him in his Son before the world was. I can't understand how it is, but I know he did from it because he saved it. He couldn't have chosen anything if he hadn't seen it. He saw it, and he put his name in the book of life. And that name being in the book of life, you are now of God and are joined there with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's unsure. God sent into this business. He sent into it. You are preserved in Jesus Christ. Preserved. And if you are preserved, brother, you will fit in better. Anything that's preserved, you're the keep investing. You're the keep a million years and be just the same as you are when you put that. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Don't you think that's a good place? I think it's the best place it could have been. Preserved in Jesus. You know what it's just called? Satisfied. With the eternal home. Forever child of God. They'll all be that. All the children will be there. He said, Father, if I have the children, we'll all come. And there'll be a place for all of them. There won't be no vacant places. If heaven is a reservation, it's reserved. You know a man that when he goes on these stock markets and he buys them sheep, you know sometimes them sheep cost a lot of money. But they're numbers. The man goes up there and he pays $10 for a sheep.
And that thing is going to last just a little while. He takes 10,000 dollars for a seat. And after a while, the porter brings the man to the door, there's John Smith. He looked on the book, his seat is thin. It's reserved. So if I take it, his place, it's got a reserve for it. And so there is one thing to this. A kind of God that he takes business in his business ways in this world. They've got some systems of that, isn't it? Suppose they left their house to John the Baptist. Jesus has paid for it. He has redeemed you from all sins and iniquity. Put your sins as far away to Jesus from the west. Don't you have to say something? Now would it be remembered against you anymore? If this was house of the fire, I said, take that paper out. You take it out and say, that's that house, I'll be able to reach you by. But if you put it over on the barrel and half away, I wouldn't be able to reach you. It's always got to say this. I love God, whom we got something to show. See, that thing has a market for the world. This stuff is done, cooked and picked and all got to it, passed around, and the children sit all the way. You know, I saw the summons of the place, Richard, and I said, the one lesson in the Bible says, give them that read the fresh, calm drink. That is, preach on the eternal purpose of God, show how he fixed it here. And I said, if it's good as stimulated, and there won't another thing come back again. You'll fall on it! You think you just about over it. You know, you won't get the Lord, and you won't get the reason you say it. But I hear an old man preach on the great things that God done back on. Talk about how he worked with Joseph and Moses. When you read that, just sit that drink. If you just sit that drink and go to sleep, it's four when you wake up and just feel like crying some more. Get out and cry, yes, sir. No matter how hot the sun is, or how bad the grass is, and get out and go to work. The trouble is to work to a man that's accomplished them. Now take these things for what you feel it worth. Try them out here with God's blessed word. Remember me when you say, God bless you.